Hello, I'm Rhythian Knight, and this is Thai Hi-Fi. This week's podcast is a slightly festive edition, insofar as we bring to you some crack about a seasonal delicacy, a bit of a party food for this time of year, the Humboldt pickled onion. I think you'll really enjoy this show. It's in collaboration with a good friend of mine, Kinga, who I've known for many years now, but last seen at a party where he brought along a bucket of pirate pickles. And I think you'll really enjoy hearing from this chap, hopefully the first of many subjects. But for now, I'll take my leave. I'll hand you over to this week's broadcast, Kinga's Pirate Pickles. Welcome to Thai Hi-Fi. We have a very special pickle edition this evening. I'm joined with Kinga, who I met at a house party just last year, and Kinga very graciously brought along a bucket of pirate pickles, and I was so taken by the conversation and the taste sensation that ensued that I thought the world should know about it. So Kinga, hello, and show us your onions.
Good evening. Here it is. Look at that. It's a whopper.
So for the benefit of the listener, I am currently looking at a fetching kitchen at an undisclosed location. Could you describe the scene for me, Kinga?
Yes, I can. I can. You're looking at a little hovel in Englandshire, where I am in a little tiny kitchen, surrounded by all sorts of lovely things. And most importantly, I've got my pickles here.
Nice. Yeah. Is pickling something you've been into for a while then, or is this a fairly new discovery?
Oh, I've always loved my pickles. I've always loved a little bit of... spice is the wrong word, isn't it, when it comes to pickle?
Mm-hmm. See, you might not know this about me, but I'm a fairly late bloomer when it comes to pickles and pickled onions. When I was a little boy, my brothers and sisters knew I didn't like them, especially around Christmas time. So every time they came around the table, they would breathe on me. They'd be like, and the more I'd complain and shout and scream, the more they'd do it. So it took me a little while to get over the trauma, but see... when you put one of them pirate pickles out of the bucket and in my mouth last year, it did almost take my head off, but I enjoyed it. Like, yeah, you've been making them a while.
Oh, God, excuse me. Just took the lid off. Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, open the door.
That's a strong batch you got there.
It's all down to a fine blend of spices, eh? Now then, can you see that? I know this isn't really for radio, but
I can see a large onion. I would say that's probably the size of a satsuma.
Right, that's what you're looking for when it comes to a good pickled onion. None of this rubbish, these little tiny things that you get it in the supermarket in those jars. You want a good onion that packs a punch. That's what you want. You want something that's gonna do the job. And the job I want this pickle to do, and this pickle's been designed for a particular recipe. Now, and the recipe goes back all the way back to about the 1980s, mid-1980s, when I was working in this big pub for Whitbread, and we used to do a beautiful garlic mushroom dish.
Oh,
and now we used to cook up everything there apart from these garlic mushrooms, and they used to come in these unlabeled containers, eh? And I don't know where they came from, but they were beautiful. And it was one of the few things that I could still get hold of that had no ingredients on it. So it was like a secret recipe. It was one of Whitbread's secret recipes. It was delicious, absolutely delicious. Mm. It was a potted garlic mushroom. And I love them. And try as I might over the years to replicate it, to get this beautiful garlic mushroom.
Yeah.
I really struggled, and I don't know how you're into to your, you know, your creamy garlic mushrooms, but I'm at the time of year I'm really into it. Mm-hmm. But the trouble is, right, is you can eat too many because they're too creamy, too cheesy, too buttery, too much. Eh? It's just too much. And what you need a little bit of, like a little. If you're doing a chicken or a pork in a white wine and cream sauce, you get the acidity from the white wine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, the moment you put a splash of white wine on a mushroom, it leaks liquid out. It pours all its juices out, uh-huh. and you end up with like a little rubbery mess. So you can't use salt, and you can't use wine in your mushrooms because they go tough and nasty. So for 30 years, I'm scratching my head trying to work my out how to get these mushrooms the way I want them. And one night I'm laid in bed, as you do, dreaming of spices and pickles. And it came to me that the technique would be to fry the mushrooms with a really powerful pickled onion, because there was no salt in the pickled onion, but it was seasoned.
Yeah.
And there was an acidity that wouldn't curdle the cream. So I got up the next morning and I dashed off to get some onions, bought a sack of onions, peeled them up, and well, that was it. It set me on the track to pickle heaven, eh? And the recipe that I'm gonna share with you now. And
well, you're gonna cook up while we're chatting, like?
I'm gonna cook up while we're chatting. Yeah, so I've got to clean the pan, eh? Because I've only just had my tea.
Nice one. Well, listen, while you're rattling pans, if it gets too noisy, I'll let you know. But I didn't realise we're going to get a little cookery show as well. That's wicked. So a late night discovery, a little eureka moment then, was it?
It was a eureka moment because, you know, yeah, it was a eureka moment for me. You know, how to get an acid into a cream without it curdling.
Aye, aye.
So, you know, so does it work? Let's try. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Anyhow, but before I start, I'm just chopping my onion up now. I'm chopping it in half down the middle, and then in like rings. And what that then does is the little rings. Look at that. Can you hear those mushrooms? Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can
sizzle.
Hear the sizzling. Yeah.
Oh.
So these onions aren't pickled yet. They're just, this is fresh.
They are pickled. No, this is pickled. This is the one that's just, I took the lid off and it's fierce. Mm-hmm. It's really fierce. Now, I will have sent you one up by now and you can taste it.
Oh, I would love that. Do you have just, do you do just the one batch every year, Kinga, or do you do different ones?
Well, as soon as I've run out, I'll get another bucket full on the go. And it's pointless doing a jar. You've got to use a bucket full. Mm-hmm. Because I use the pickling method for preserving them.
I'm quite partial to a good bucket. It's been a while since I've done one, like. But yeah, what vinegar do you use?
Right, I use a mixture of white vinegar and ordinary malt vinegar. But I spice it up with a big handful of black peppercorns, 6, 8, 10 big mixed chilies. Get mm-hmm. them in there,
mm-hmm.
and some cumin seeds.
Aye, aye, okay.
And that's all it needs. But what I'm after with these pickles isn't a delicate taste. I'm after a fierceness, eh? I'm after a fierceness because. Oh, look at that. There we go. We're on
this. It's not never occurred to me. I always thought the pickled onion wouldn't be an ingredient in a meal. It would just be a thing on its own, a bit like a bloody Scotch egg or something. But what you're saying is you're using the ferment to create something that you then add to other dishes. That's interesting.
It's fundamental, eh? And the pickles came originally when, as you know, I was on the boats for a long time, and I spent a lot of time cooking. But one of the things about being at sea is you soon find the onions don't keep. But you need a good onion, eh? So what we found is that pickled onions keep better on a boat than raw onions. They keep for longer. So mm-hmm. when I do a batch of onions, it's to preserve them for the winter time as well. So it's to see me through all the way to spring.
Yes.
So are you with me? That's why.
I'm more than with you. I was. I just remembered how enthusiastic you were this time last year, and it seemed like almost an ancestral thing or a winter ritual that you enact. So yeah, I'm 100% with you, and I can't wait to taste this year's sample. Yeah.
After Christmas, when there isn't much to eat, as we know, onions can make a big difference to like just a plate of rice. They can add a good flavour to it. Mm-hmm. And in the UK, we've got our own wild onions, which are beautiful, eh? And they're like little tiny thin strings. They grow in the English landscape or the British landscape all year round. Oh, that says a lot. And just a handful of them can put a real good flavour into, you know, like a bowl of rice or some mashed potato. You know, you can knock up a bit of a cold cannon with a few of those thrown in. You can make bland things taste reasonably edible.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's why I always look to me onions.
That gives you a bit of fire in the belly too, doesn't it? I guess, or at least it does for me this time of year.
It does, and you know, there's nothing like a bit of pork to cut through a bit of pickle to cut through a piece of pork or something.
Mm-hmm.
For those that do eat a bit of meat.
Oh, I can see some steam rising here. What is that? It must be a good smell. Is that a smell of vinegar pervading the air?
I was a bit quick with the mushrooms. We'll get some more mushrooms in there before I...
Kinger, I'm curious about, while you're doing that, I'm curious about the white wine, the white vinegar you talked about. Is this the sort of common old garden stuff you can get in big 5-litre tubs? I've been using white wine for cleaning this winter. And for some
white
other
wine,
things
no,
too.
White vinegar.
White vinegar, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Is it, you know... It's kind of cheap. It's like £6 for 5 litres, something like that. Is that what we're talking about? Same thing?
Yeah. You're looking at about £1 a litre, 50p a litre for the brown stuff. Got them sizzling. Look at that. Now then, right, where were we? Because we're all...
You were telling me about the British wild onion. And it occurred to me while you were saying that, that might have been something you gathered, or I was also curious about whether you've actually grown your onions in the past and turned them for pickling in the winter. Oh, have you followed it right the way through the year in the past?
I've been rubbish at growing onions most of the time, really, to be quite honest with you. So I tend to buy the onions I need to pickle in straight off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the wild onions that grow outside. I think they're probably the best of all, but they're not onions. They're just like, what are those green, like long shoots called?
Well, when you're talking, the picture I've got in my mind's eye is ramsons, you know, the wild garlic, but I'm not sure if we're talking about the same thing. White flower grows
yeah,
in
no,
the spring.
No, I'm not talking about ramsons.
No, okay, cool.
It looks like a spring onion, is what I can say. A very long, thin spring onion.
Okay. Habitat?
It looks like a miniature leek. It looks like a miniature leek.
Yeah, what's this habitat? Where does it grow?
And I think you might be interested. This was written by a woman called Juliette de Berkeley Levy in the 1960s.
Okay.
And she's talking about horses.
Right.
And she says, they have a passion for the forest wild onion, which grows in abundance during the spring months and which some old foresters say was spread over the New Forest and its environs, especially in the Fordingbridge area, by the gypsies when they first came. They, who greatly value it as a medicine for their ponies and dogs, and also as a blood tonic for themselves.
Hmm. Now, interesting.
Later in her book, she says, she describes someone she's met, and she says, oops, I've met one New Forest woman who cured herself of tuberculosis by living on a diet of the forest wild onions, spring water, bread, and little else. And when I study this peculiar plant of such pungency and vitality, I always tell myself that that very plant must have been the wild leek of St. David, who, in his nearby Wales across the Bristol Channel, on which the saint fasted for 3 weeks with water and wild honey, and then following his fast, went forth to achieve miracles.
Cool quote. When you say wild leek, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I know where it grows too. What I didn't know is that people used to wild plant as well as wild harvest it. So you'll be talking about the Nevy of the New Forest there then.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they, as most travelling people would have done, they would have planted cash crops, food, vegetables. They knew where things were growing, and their calendar of movement would be dictated by the seasons, by what was there. There would be no point turning up a week after the flowers had already flowered, because there wouldn't be any there to sell. So you'd have to be there before the flowers arrived.
Sure.
Before you've got to pick the holly before the birds eat the berries, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So what you find is that in certain places, at certain times of year, certain plants grow.
So, King, if you don't mind, I'm going to call it the wild leek, just because I've got a sort of mental image when I call it by that name. Springtime. So these keep well as a pickle, then, is what you're saying. You can extend its season, so to speak, by whapping it in.
No, they don't keep at all well. That's the trouble with them.
Oh, what do you do with them, then?
You can only eat them when they're available.
Okay, right on.
Or plant them somewhere else as well. They're around most of the year, but they're best in the spring.
Right on.
Which is why you've got to pickle your onions, eh? To make certain you've always got a good supply.
Gotcha. Well, listen, if you don't mind, I'll be returning to you in the spring when you've got a good bunch of them. But right now, maybe we'll stick with shallots. I wish I had a good shallot pun right now. It would be perfect. But
chives,
that's all right.
Chives are good, aren't they? Chives are good.
I do like a chive.
So, that's just more like a bit of garnish rather than a lunch, isn't it? Right, so.
So where are you at with the dishes? I can see some sort of steamy... I can just imagine the smells, but tell what's happening.
Right, I've got the mushrooms blasting. They're done lovely now, eh? So I'm going to toss in finely chopped.
I can see you chopping. You've done that before.
Oof, indeed. Now then, that's just looking lovely. So I'm going to add a little cream. Milk first to deglaze. Look at that.
Lovely.
Little drop of cream.
Ooh. So the cream doesn't curdle. That's very interesting.
It doesn't curdle.
You know what I thought would be fun? I don't know if there's anybody else in your household, but I know the experience of putting one of those pickles in my mouth, right? And I know that you're quite sort of hardened to one. So is there a third party we could invest in before the podcast is over, just to get a little taste tester? That would be funny.
I think so. I'll give my mate. call, eh? I'll have to keep him socially distanced.
Mm-hmm. Well, you won't get too near. You won't get too near.
He's just so antisocial, eh? I do. Here we go. I've got a friend here who's never tried one of these pickles.
Really off, even better. Great. So, I don't know. Let's keep it to a sort of a reasonable time scale. I can't see him go red, and the audience can. I can see him go red, but the audience can't see him go red. But it'd be quite funny to see his reaction.
Okay. Well, here we go. This is my friend Martin. Martin, would you like to come and have a try of these pickles?
Certainly.
Here you go. There it is.
Here we go.
Straight out the bucket. So how long have these been fermenting for, Kinger?
The smaller one.
Yeah, go for it. It's about to go in. It's about to go in.
Okay.
Ready? This is...
You got about half a shallot.
Okay. Let's see what action we get. Perhaps you could...
Yeah. There you are. Really nice, aren't they?
How long do you steep them for, Kinger, in the chili and vinegar?
Well, that's half the trick.
And cumin.
You've got to get it right, eh? Oh, let's get that in there. And what I'm keen to share with people is is about making your mushrooms. Come on, hurry up. That shouldn't be hot. When you're making your pickles, peel them, put them in a bucket, and sprinkle them with salt. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of salt. Sprinkle loads of salt over them. A whole pot. And then just leave them. And every day, just give them a... Put your hand in and give them a turn around, stir them all around, and you'll get all this water starts to come out. Huh. And after about 3 days, the onions turn to rubber. They go like jelly. And if you squeeze them, the middles pop out. You don't want that. Hey.
So don't squeeze them.
Don't squeeze them. Mm-hmm. Or if you do, put them back in. And tip all the liquid off, put that into another bucket. And then the next day, get a small soft brush and dip it in the liquid. Go outside and brush the weeds that you don't want anymore, and it will kill them.
Huh. So the water that's been drawn off... Out of the onions from the salt.
The onions,
yeah, from the salt.
Is a weed killer. It's highly toxic. And if you brush it on, apply it with a soft brush, a dustpan brush. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A soft dustpan brush. You get rid of all of the liquor. Don't put it down the sink because it'll, you know, it's not good for the river at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, use it as a weed killer.
Oh, I didn't see that coming. Huh. And at what point do you add your vinegar to that broth? And do you leave the salt on the onions when you add the vinegar, or do you get?
No, there's no salt on them. It turns into a liquid, you see, and the liquid just pours off. So you strain it off. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, Martin, will you have a try of this mushroom? Now, I can show you, but the cream is near the curdle and it's sticking to the mushrooms.
Delicious. Mm. Sorry, I can't be sharing those with you, but yeah, there's some good information there. I think people could approximate that themselves.
Yeah, so make your onions, but you might want to make, you might need a bit of weed killer in the springtime, you know, so bottle it up and keep it. And it's bloody good stuff, eh? That's how I keep the weeds down. Mm-hmm. Where I am.
Interesting. So presumably at that point you add the rest of your ingredients. Okay. Is that the point where you check in your vinegar and cumin and chilies and all that?
Yeah, once you've got your onions all floppy, and you've strained them off, just chuck them in your bucket of vinegar. Eh? Vinegar, your chilies, your peppercorns, and your cumin seeds.
Cool. And when are they ready to go then?
8 weeks, I'd say, 6 to 8 weeks. But okay. They go, you know, when they're ready, because they're no longer soft and floppy. Mm-hmm. They're really hard and firm.
Like a good conker. Kinga, just out of interest, could you leave them in there like indefinitely? Would they keep, you know, could you have like vintage onions? Or have you never found that out? They're too popular.
Sorry, but I'm like, oh, that's good. That's really nice. So, and I'm going to, I haven't seasoned, I'm going to put, I've got a really nice focaccia here. I was going to cut a thick slice of that one that Toby's made. Fantastic. And I was going to just cook that in a dry pan and serve those on it.
Delicious. Delicious. Would you like to draw things to a close so you could have your meal?
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Well, it's fantastic. You've managed to cook something delicious and impart some really useful information too. There's quite a few take homes I've got there, particularly the weed killer when you're drawing off the liquid that gets sucked out of the onions. I shall be watching for that process when I try my own, you know.
Yeah, do it. It's really, really important that you get all the liquid out of your onions, mm-hmm. and your other vegetables as well, because once it's out, you know, the vinegar then sucks it all back in again. Uh-huh. And it's the process of that, all that vinegar getting sucked up back in again, which makes your vegetables crisp, mm-hmm. and crunchy. Mm-hmm.
Kinga?
Just a few chopped up, you know, spiced onions chopped up in a salad. It's just nothing like it.
Delicious. Perfect, so. Well, Kinga, thank you for bringing your pirate pickles to the world. And we'll see you a little bit further towards the end of the Hungry Cat Gap, where maybe we can talk a little bit more about some subsistence wintry foods. Have a lovely dinner, and I wish you well. Any parting words? Thanks for being our taster, Martin. All the best, gentlemen. Stay warm and have a lovely evening. Good night. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to that pickled onion edition. I must confess, it was a lot of fun in the making, and the live cooking and the taster coming in from left field there kind of took me by surprise, which is often the case when I speak to Kinga. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe to the channel, and I can keep you informed of future podcasts and the occasional live radio show. Be sure to tell your friends too. I'm Rivian Knight, and this is Thai Hi-Fi. Have a good week. All the best.